The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Things gone come. September 23rd, Monday. Your host, Melvin Prince John, again on Life is a Gamble. Now, I want you to take a look at a few things. I got four things that I'm upset with. And I hate to start the show by saying I'm upset, but because you won't get upset, Philadelphia, I have to get upset. And I'm a Republican, so I probably shouldn't get upset at all, because the majority of this city is ran by Democrats. But I can't get Democrats to make a phone call to help themselves out. No. The mayor has come out and said she wants the stadium. She's in favor of the stadium. Did you expect anything else? If you're fortunate enough to pick up my book when it comes out, you'll see all her donors. You'll see everybody who she put together in reference to her campaign team in order for her to become mayor. And so if you are not in those rooms and you feel that something is making you uncomfortable, back in the day, they used to pick up the phone and call their council person or call their state legislator. And they would keep calling and keep calling and keep calling. Now you have that, you have the ability to go online and communicate with them. And yet you don't. The dynamics of a stadium in Center City is going to be devastating. Now, just take it from me. I have the experience of being relocated, living somewhere, and watching my friends who've lived there 30, 40 years being uprooted and relocated. Now, there were some promises made that you would come back, that you would be job ready, that you would be in a new home, that we would help you get employment. Now, to some extent, the partners on my deal, they were not ready for this, but I had a strong enough housing authority that had made sure that those things that was committed to, that was promised to, actually had taken place. And I must take my hat off and commend the Housing Authority under this leadership, and must commend the resident leaders who have made the commitment to make sure that the Housing Authority, Philadelphia Housing Authority, followed through. And they may not have always agreed, but they amicably worked a deal to make sure that prior residents who used to live in those developments and could come back and could obtain the services to make them better neighbors. Because everybody assumed that we wasn't good neighbors when they had the literature that came out and said this was the most oppressed or depressed neighborhood. And they felt that it was almost a reflection on the people there. And it went both ways. It was the homes there that were dilapidated, and it was the mentality in the people there that fit the homes. Dilapidated homes, dilapidated mentality. And so under the last 10 to 12 years, this administration has done everything to improve the areas of the Housing Authority throughout the city of Philadelphia. I don't hear anybody talking about it. It hadn't gotten much credit, but some of your areas that had the highest crime rate aren't a tribute to public housing any longer. They are a tribute to the neighborhoods around public housing. So once again, this whole mayor making a decision about the Sixers Stadium, and it just devastated the community down there. And so I want to know what you feel, what you're thinking about. This is ridiculous. I am not in agreement with the stadium and how it was done. You know, I'm not in agreement with SEPTA getting a $240 million increase by way of raising fares, by way of raising the fares on its buses. You know, I think SEPTA should do a few things. I mean, if you'd asked me if I had a nickel in this quarter right here, I say that they should partner up. Their paired transit division should become a partner with Uber or Lyft. And then you raise money to have Uber, Lyft as your partners, whatever percentage you want to work that out. And then Uber and Lyft could take those SEPTA parent, SEPTA transit vans and pick up a population between 55 and 80 only. So now you ain't got no disrespectful kids or no disrespectful adults who function as a child on the bus, who reek of marijuana, who playing his music too loud, who cussing out his girlfriend on the phone or his baby mom. You actually segregating them in order for them to have a peaceful ride to the dialysis or wherever else they would have to go and come back. And I'm sure you could spend your money. It'd be better spent, better used in that capacity. Another thing, we had a 13-year-old student who had gotten shot, 13-year-old little girl who had gotten shot in the house where three boys were. And so she's dead. And so the three boys are probably all looking at 20 years. Because even if you knock it all the way down to aggravated assault with a firearm, it's 5 years mandatory having an unlicensed firearm. So look, it's early in the show. It looks like I got George on the line, my co-host. So let me go to George and just see if he can give me some answers to a few of these things I talked about. George, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, Prince?
I'm doing well. There's a few things that I talked about today. One was I'm very disturbed about the mayor's decision on the stadium, and I'm thinking that none of you guys, when I say you guys, I'm talking about Philadelphians, she don't hear y'all screaming. She don't hear you guys fighting against her decision, you know. And I think that a lot of folks, remember back in the day, they used to call Mary Mason's show, they used to call City Hall, they used to call the state rep. They were more participant towards stopping something that they did not agree with, opposed to agreeing with it and just being angry, but letting it go on. As we now see.
But, Prince, what you got to realize is that now it's about the ching ching. It's about that check. You know, you want to find out
who's getting the check.
Sell out.
Who's getting the
well,
check?
Well, I'm saying, no, I ain't getting one.
No, you know, I'm saying, who's getting the check?
Who's getting a check? You're getting people. Anybody who's supporting the stadium, they're not doing it for free. They're getting a check, a contract. They're getting something.
So
the Sixers.
Let me ask you a question. The campaign finance statements are under the Freedom of Information Act. You can pull those, right?
Yeah.
So we need to find out who had gotten donations towards their campaign from the Sixers, right?
Right. But the Sixers don't have to do a financial report like that. They're not elected officials.
City councils do.
Therefore, they don't even have to. They got ways of they're getting theirs. What I'm talking about, the problem is it's your special group of people that you have in the city of Philadelphia who will prostitute their mom if it's enough money.
Well, who would they look like? Because I need I need to go to the Sixers game and see who's sitting in box seats.
Yeah, box seats. They give them a box seat. This is the way it goes. You get an envelope and you get a box seat.
Some popcorn,
you know, you come to
peanuts.
All the games. No. You get hot dogs and a Coke.
Pepsi soda.
You know, you can't get everything. No. You can't get everything. Everything don't come with it. They tell you, look, you get enough money, you can buy your own stuff. We already gave you a ticket and a parking pass.
Mm.
But that's how little they sell their community out. But if, listen, I'm a firm believer in the minority has a say, the majority has its way.
Mm-hmm.
Put it, get 2,000 signatures, put it on the ballot, the referendum, and then let's see if the people say they want the stadium, then all well and good. And then if they say not, then you just scratch it. You know, you're going to displace a whole community.
But I think we're too far.
I want to see how they're going to do eminent domain.
Hold
That's
on,
my
hold,
whole thing.
Hold on a minute. I think we are too far. the mayor has made a decision, is going to vote.
That's all it is, Hold on, it's a decision.
Hold on, it's going to vote this Thursday in city council.
How's it going to vote this Thursday and they haven't even introduced it? You got to introduce the bill first. Got to bring it out.
They were waiting.
School has to bring it out.
That's Mark's rule of district, right?
Yes.
Right. They're going to do what they always do. They say, okay.
They didn't do what they always do. They have to. By law, he has to introduce it.
The reading of it has been read. All in favor.
When was it read?
That's what I'm telling you they're going to do. They're going to do it Thursday. They're going to say the reading of it has been read. All in favor. And now we will have another meeting next Thursday to approve it.
It ain't going
to
go that way.
Well, you're not going to be listening Thursday, so we'll find out. We'll see.
No, I'll be there Thursday. It ain't going to go that way.
All right.
Squiller is going to make sure that he got 8 votes. He got to get 8. He's 9. So far, he don't have 8. Okay?
It's 17
and he's
people.
Not gonna run
How is
again?
He don't have 8?
Say it again?
It's 17.
He doesn't have 8. Right. All he need is 9 votes.
Right.
He makes the 9th vote. Mm-hmm. All he need is 8.
Right.
Okay. I'm telling you, he don't have 8.
He doesn't have eight votes yet. By the time this come up for a vote, he'll have 8 votes.
You're missing the whole.
Let me tell you my logic, and you can tell me your logic. They put these resolutions in committees, right? And somehow the committee works out all of the kinks. So whoever's headed or chair of that committee, so by the time it gets to the floor, it's agreed on. May not be by everybody, but the majority of the people who were in there who were new to politics, you know, the group, O'Rourke and those guys that just got in there.
They're the ones who's against it.
I'm just throwing his name out because they're new. But, I mean,
No. You can't, some people you can't straighten out. That group is, it's like
the Working Family Party.
They're not, you can't move them. They're not for it. Period. They made that perfectly clear. They're not for it.
The other guy made it clear, too, the one who had taken down
Jeffrey Young. He was the first one said under no circumstances he's for it. Don't care what they do. Therefore, you got that's like 6 right there. You got 6 solid people that's not going to move.
Okay. I mean, we. So, I'm only. I'm being facetious by laughing because it seems like, you know, like I know, it should be an uproar. Like they should be shutting down Marcus.
It's going to be an uproar, but people don't do that no more, Prince. What they used to do, they don't do. They use internet and services like that there. That's why I'm saying this. 2 things they can't do, and I don't care how they do it. It's lawyers are saying it and everybody, even the solicitor saying it. They can't do eminent domain. Okay, they can't widen the streets. They can't get those properties that they want. They just can't take stuff through eminent domain. They just can't do it. Okay, who or what the mayor says, she only can go so far. Now, she's a gangster. I grant you that. She's a cold thug. You do what she wants. She's proven it. She know that she got the power over council. They're going to do what they're told. They're going to fall in line. But this here, ain't nobody willing to go to jail.
But I don't think she would have gotten this far if they hadn't sat down in a room and
they
worked out
how. They ain't sit down
in
a room, Prince. Prince, you giving these people too much credit. What they used to do, they don't do.
I've already just seen them. Hold on, wait a minute. They're their own boss. Wait a minute. She made a bunch of people who supported her leave a house. Hold on. Let me give you what I've seen, and then you can tell me if it's smoke and mirrors. A bunch of people from District 47, majority females, who have children, leave their home. They can't work from home no more. Go to work. Put their kids in daycare that she didn't give them extra money for. They have their grandparents' care. She didn't give them extra money for that as well, which she said she was going to do. And then take the Office of Economic Opportunity, OEO, and build a play area inside her office for her kid that nobody's talking about. Nobody went and investigated.
You can't get
DC 47 to get online to talk about, you know, how they, you know, either, you know, threw the life raft in or tapped out. One of the two, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous. Look, I'm going to take a 1 minute break, George. Can you hold? Can I talk to you on the other side?
Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
And I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments, the benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
Know when to walk away. George, I'm back. Thank you for letting me take that break. So your understanding is that the fight hasn't begun yet. That what we say?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
It hasn't. See, it's like they try to rush everything through, mm-hmm. which I don't blame them. Do what you got to do to get what you got to get. Mm-hmm. You know, the public is asleep, to let them sleep. Don't try to wake them up or anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming in with bells and, you know, sirens.
It's the end of the year, right?
Right. You sound asleep. I'm going to do everything I can to wake you up. But believe me, it ain't like a cakewalk that everybody think it is, okay? It'd be a cakewalk if everybody just laying. But then what makes really get you pissed is that you got a couple idiots talking about, well, the Asians ain't never come to our rescue. The Asians is in our community. The Asians is nowhere but where you let them be. They come in your community because why? One, you don't want to open up a breakfast joint. Two, you don't want to open up no laundromat. You don't want to open up a cleaners. You don't want to open up nothing that they have. You can't open and don't want to open up a hair joint.
So let me ask you this question.
So what is your complaint? You don't complain when they go to zoning and get it zoned. They build a zone for to get a license.
Let me ask you this question. Because as long as I've known you and I've seen the fights that you've taken up, why this one? Why are you taking up this fight? What makes you an advocate for the stadium not being there other than your duck? I know you like the duck you get from down there, but what makes you, why are you such an advocate for this?
I think they're taking advantage of a small group of people who they just, I don't like to see nobody take advantage of nobody, but don't sit there and just will your power over somebody. You don't just take advantage of them. Mm. You know, they survived because it was always somebody like me would come up and say, nah, you can't do that. Look what they survived, the football stadium. They survived a lot of stuff down there. Now that Jefferson Hospital is pissed about it because you know how many people are going to die trying to, you know, getting back and forth from Jefferson, emergency and all that there. There's only one or two ways to get there. I don't care how you do it. And if they're coming from Templewood for Oregon, how they going to get by and it's a game? You can't. So Oregon is a matter of hours.
So did they do a traffic study? Because here's my understanding.
They didn't do no traffic study. The only study they did was the Sixers study.
Well, hold on.
Then they gave them a blank piece of paper to sign to say, here, you support us, and we'll fill in the rest later.
Well, hold on. Didn't they say that this would be a commuters stadium or a commuters arena?
Yeah.
As if there's not going to be any cars driving at all. To come to this stadium right here. And if that's the case, then why are they building underground parking? Who's that for?
Well, what are they going to do? Have a I ain't never heard of no 5,000 or 6,000 car garage.
Right.
I never heard of it. Let's say if they have a 500 car garage, mm-hmm. which is very unusual. I mean, you're talking about a place that they're going to have what? 10,000 to 15,000 people?
At least.
Yeah. And that means at least 10,000 of them are going to drive.
Yeah, and if it's
who in their right mind is going to get on public transportation 11 o'clock at night, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, to ride back to the suburb? It don't even make sense. I got a car, and I can afford to go to the game, but I got to catch SEPTA. That don't make no sense. It's just the most asinine foolishness I ever heard in my life.
All right, so look, let's put a pin in that right here. I need to talk about this 13-year-old girl that got shot.
Every day.
I know, but specifically,
no suspects, no arrests.
Now, There were three boys in the house. This took place in West Philly or North Philly? North Philly, right?
North Philly, yeah. Right.
There were three boys in the house. And when I had heard the news that the girl got shot, I'm figuring, well, we know there was a gun involved, but because she is dead, are all three of them going to get charged with that?
Yeah.
And so let's say they're all 13 or 14, around the same age that she is, right?
Yeah.
So even if it's, so you can reduce that down to second degree manslaughter, right? But doesn't that still come with 10 to 15?
No, it still come with a possibility of life.
Right. So you talking.
All homicide, but I don't care what you get, third degree is still life.
So you talking 13 boys that will never be men. Have they found them yet, first of all?
No. No suspects, no arrest. Don't you know the routine?
I think you said you're going to get me a T-shirt that say that. No suspects.
That's right. No suspects, no arrest. But
I'm figuring, because their mom's going to turn them in the next few weeks. You know, that's what moms do, single moms. You know, that's what they do. They turn their kids in.
Well, I don't think they're going to turn these in, because I think these are the ones that stay in abandoned houses and stuff, and cars, steel cars for the heat in the winter and air in the summer.
So we're going to put these kids away for the rest of their lives. There's no intervention. There's no...
It's the price you pay. Wow. Man. I mean, I wouldn't want to see it. I mean, you know, but hey, the rules are the rules. The law is the law. And then anytime you got people say, you got hardcore people in the street say, man, some of these kids need to be locked up. Now, you know it's bad. All the stick-up boys saying, dang, man, you got to bang these jokers, man. They be running up on you like they're going to do you.
So they just had five different pop-up car reckless driving in parts of the city. And they
it's
seem
fun,
to be...
It's fun, Prince. It's called fun. Mm. Now that the police chasing them or going to the next spot, if they want to really catch them guys, they can. They ain't trying to catch them. They don't want to catch them. They just go and make noise. Mm. How is it going to be 10 or 15 cars out there spinning and burning, and the police come there? You know they ain't just coming. They know how to block it in. And everybody get away. Nobody gets caught. And they all got cars. So what you going to do?
I watched on the news where they went down Temple. And in the heart of Temple, they started making the donuts and doing that stuff. And the police, all he did was, like, stop the traffic of cars. Like cut his siren
on,
stop the traffic of cars, and continue to let them. And I say, well, if you continue to let this kind of mayhem exist, then they're going to keep doing it. What would stop them? It wouldn't happen in Plymouth Meeting. It wouldn't happen in King of Prussia. It wouldn't happen, you
Listen,
know.
The cops do what they're told. Go to work, do 8 hours, and go home. Mm. Don't mess up your pension. You can thank city council for that, changing the rules, making them relaxing the rules. Police can't do nothing. I don't blame them. I wouldn't stop them either. If I was a cop, man, I would write you a ticket. I'd just go there and do me 8 hours. If it's some overtime, get that and keep it moving.
Yeah. I was with someone the other
day. That's the way they set it up. Listen, man, I don't make the rules.
Now, listen.
I just know.
I was with someone the other day, and they the other half of them was in Norristown. They drove to Norristown to do hair. And the police pulled them over in Norristown, and they had a temp, one of those temp tags on there. It had expired, and the cop said, I'm going to give you a chance to make 2 phone calls, but I'm going to take this temp tag off. And if you don't call and I don't get a copy of the insurance in this car, I'm going to take the car. And so she got the copy of the insurance, and they took the temp tag off. But she still now had to get from Norristown back to Philly. And the whole idea was that if I get back to Philly, I'm good. So you could think, I guess, one of them city council people who say that you can't run the plates no more. You know, they can have tinted windows. You know, inspired inspections don't matter anymore. And then you tie that around something that has to do with it's our best interest, or it leads to the car stop, leads to an illicit death or something like that. That was creative, you know, because he stopped the car. It's an illicit death. So what it is that you're saying that every cop who may stop a car for the illegal tinted windows or an expired inspection sticker is going to pull the trigger there's a propensity of him pulling the trigger and killing the person in the car. And I think that was just a stretch. I think that was a stretch. For you to get the kind of support from people by drawing it up that way is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Look, tell me something they do is not ridiculous. But, they have the stuff they vote on. They don't even know what they're voting on.
But that,
they go to each other and say, this is something I need. Okay, I got you. Not that it do the public any good. No, I got you. Don't worry about it.
So let me ask you a question.
Go to them and say, look, if they want to do something, take it for instance, how many, 3 people died last week at Temple University Hospital because of the thing that an emergency ambulance, a fire department couldn't get through. They close off at Broad and and Oxford. They have a boulder in the middle. They have a boulder in the middle. And it closes. They got that thing in there where you can't get an emergency lane.
So you're talking about the concrete barrier.
So all the way
barrier.
Down the concrete barrier in there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Malcolm Kenyatta is the only one that can get it removed because it's a state highway. So you know you got to either a council person got to get it removed, which Darryl Clark would never do because he's the one that got it put there, and you wouldn't get the state to do it. I mean, you got to get Malcolm Kenyatta to do it, which I think he will. And Temple, you know, is really on them. So the city got 2 problems. They got the hospitals on their case. Jefferson Hospital is saying the stadium, the arena can't, the ballpark can't go there because it's interfering with the hospital.
So
Temple's saying you
co-host.
Need to take that crap out.
You're my co-host right now. Let me ask you a question. What has Malcolm Kenyatta ever done other than run for another office?
Well, that's a job.
Yeah, but what has he done in his current role as a state
run for another office?
Rep.
Line up for the next office.
I'm just saying, he's talking about he could get something done. He's not gotten anything done since he took Curtis Thomas' position.
Listen, I have asked on numerous occasions, and I asked host to ask him. You know, the I don't know. Maybe he knows something I don't know. Since he's been there, tell me 1 bill he got passed.
Right.
1.
Right.
Now he have done like maybe 2,000 or 3,000 resolutions. He's signed on to other people's bills, which they do because they need the numbers. But what else? I mean, how much has he brought back to North Philly?
Well,
and believe me, I'm not knocking him.
Fall of the building that has gone on in North Philadelphia.
MSNBC.
Hold on a minute.
He got a good thing going with MSNBC.
I get that, but with all of the building that has gone on in North Philadelphia. All of the creative money that's been moved to North Philadelphia and to change the aesthetics of North Philadelphia, you mean to tell me that he has not participated in that process by way of building or bringing money from the states to North Philadelphia?
We don't know. Mm. I mean, we got ways of checking it out, but that ain't my job.
Right, right.
You know, it's his job to tell the public what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe he do it. Maybe I miss it. I mean, I try to go to a lot of his meetings and stuff. But, you know, I can't go to every city council person's meeting or state representative. I'll go to what's important to the public.
Do you think it's fair that every time they bring money to the city, they bring it in for the seniors, and yet they bring it nowhere else? So if it goes to the senior building in North Philadelphia, then that, what, $200,000 or $180,000 went to the senior building?
I
know you support the seniors, but at the end of the day, the whole community, the bigger piece is the whole community, not just one population.
Well, somebody got to do without, so the seniors are not going to do without. So, they get, it's all theirs. They don't have to share nothing.
So let me ask you this question here. When I proposed the opportunity that we take some of the medical marijuana money and the dispenser money and put it aside for the seniors who may have an addiction to the scratch-offs to the point where they may be getting evicted from their units and stuff like that. How come that didn't get any
because
traction?
It only applied to Philadelphia.
So? We can be the first one to start.
It should have been a state issue. It was a state issue, but they only got the people in Philadelphia to vote for. The people upstate wouldn't vote for it. You got to have the vote.
No, I'm not saying that vote one way or the other, because you don't need the votes for the medical marijuana. We can't even put that money in the bank. But what I'm saying is that for us to charge...
No, they would have to tax it. What they would do have to make a tax for it, a specific tax for that, mm-hmm. to say this money here going to thing, make up a thing. The city could make up anything they want. They could say, okay, all this marijuana... Every 25 cents, 10% of whatever it is of the marijuana that's sold, the money has to go towards seniors, whatever, you know.
Sort of what they do with the Portland Authority. But they could do, so they need a depository. So if you put it in a depository, then you can tax it as it is in a depository. And in that way, you can use the revenue from there, which you'll get interest off of, to be available for seniors. I'm going to take another break, George, for 1 minute. You still got time to hang around with me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I love the Army. You just have this brotherhood that you can't find anywhere else. Since coming home from war, I've tried so many different things. I just remember thinking, like, it's over.
After being forced to medically retire, Angie battled addiction to prescription medications, eventually losing her house and marriage. Then she found Wounded Warrior Project.
And so I went online, I signed up, and I knew that Wounded Warrior Project was definitely my new community. One of the staff members, she put me in for peer mentor training. It was like for the first time someone recognized something good about me and thought that I had something to give back to someone else. Are you doing okay otherwise?
I've kind of picked up woodworking with my grandfather,
so. I saw 3D stuff.
All those activities gave me a new way to live without drugs, a new way to live without feeling like I'm broken. You can live a meaningful life after traumatic experiences.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
Know when to walk away. So, George, is there any way that... my good friends in the Republican Party could assist and help you with your seniors throughout the city? You know, are they in need of anything?
You don't know, French. Every time some of the senior churches that can't afford to have, like, they got grass and lawns and so they can't get it cut, you cut it. I mean, look, you do enough, you know. When they, you've done enough. I don't have to say all the things you do for people, you know. When Thanksgiving come around, you make sure that they have enough stuff there that's cooked that they can come there and eat much as they want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've done enough, you know.
I just think it's important because if we, you know, regardless of what goes on in the city right here, somehow they've lived long enough to get the flowers while they're living. That's like come every time.
You know, Prince, I'm like this here. Everybody talk about old people till they get old.
If they get old.
They always complain about seniors. They shouldn't this and that. They always got something slick to say out of their mouth about seniors till they get old. They don't know they're going to get old. And you know what?
If they keep living, they will.
10 times as worse.
Well,
just as bad as they try to treat seniors.
When Mrs. Janie Blackwell coming to the board meeting, man, everybody always take time out. You know, they recognize her and sometimes they applaud her because we know the work that she put in when she was our councilwoman. And I don't ever tell you the story, but her husband kept my granddad working at the docks. And my granddad kept my dad working because my dad was a longshoreman in this city right here. And so I'm always indebted and grateful every time I see her. I call her Aunt Janie for that very purpose, that we were like family because they made sure that we had a meal on our table. And I don't know if many people are doing that nowadays, man. I mean, it's just... You know, it seems like they go after those people who risk their livelihood to make sure that a bunch of people the system don't eat them up and spit them out. And I think that's what you're doing down here with this stadium.
Well,
you're fighting for a bunch of people that they have taken.
I win some and I lose some. Yeah. I don't cry when I win, so I don't cry when I lose.
Mm-hmm.
But believe me, you're going to know you've been in a fight. And I'm going to do everything I can humanly. I'll call in every pay favor I need for the last 25 years
mm-hmm.
to defeat that stadium. Because I know what it's going to do to black people. You know who's going to pay for that, Prince? People who own houses.
Mm-hmm.
The people that's running their mouth about we need this and we need that. They don't own nothing, so they can go. They don't even go to the games. They just watch it on TV. But you know what I hope Comcast do? I hope Comcast just buy it out, buy them out, buy the Sixers.
Wow.
if they really think that, you know, that's a war between two rich people. One is a billionaire, the other just a half behind millionaire. Okay. Mm. And at the end of the day, they want to see who the real big dog is. It's like a Chihuahua going up against a King Corso or a Rottweiler. You know, that little dog might bark and bark, but he can't do nothing. When he gets tired of him, just put their paw on him and hold him down.
Just hold him down. So let me ask you
a question. Yeah, they don't want to just eat him up. They just hold him down and, you know, let him know that, you know, you out of line.
So in this city right here, right now, as it stands, got an election coming up. I'm galvanizing the people on my side. You already know what side I'm on, you know. But from past experience, when folks like an Obama, and maybe he might have been something different, you know, but when folks ran, they seemed to have had like a really good start. I'm talking lawn signs, T-shirts, I'm talking rap vans. So are you guys waiting for the last minute to do that, or it's just not going to happen?
I have no idea. I haven't seen anything.
What? You control the streets during that time? Like, you know, I had no idea.
Everybody's complaining about it. Everybody's saying things.
Right.
But we haven't seen it. You can't count people's pockets. You can't tell them what to do with what's in their pockets.
Man,
you can make suggestions.
You can win a campaign with money, though. If you got money, you can win a campaign with money. That's what I know.
Well, I was told by the great Lou Blackwell said one time, he say, you got $20 million and you running for office and you lose and you got $15 million in the bank. What did you do wrong? You know, you got money and you lost, and the other guy had very little money and won.
Right. He spent all he had.
Spent what you have, you know, then you'd be all right. And that's what the Sixers are doing. They're buying off all these Negroes that are being bought. Every African American for sale will be bought, sold. Going once, twice, sold.
Yeah, but
and we know them black preachers are. We know them preachers going to get sold. We know they're for sale. They already lined up. Mr. Charlie, how much can I give?
Do you know how many? Do you know how many have been selected to sit in the room with these with the stadium?
They don't get in no room. They man, please, they can't even come in the building. They ain't trying to contaminate the building.
Well,
they meet them on the side of the road and just throw it out the window. They just like a dog. You fed the dog, go fetch. That's the way they are. They just go say, throw it out the window. They make sure it's a nice white envelope.
They throw it at. But let me nice good envelope. Let me ask this question right here. So the SEPTA is trying to put itself in position to ask the taxpayers if they could increase the fares and if they could tax them to get $240 million out of the first largest poorest city. How do you see that working? Other than them getting it, where's the economics at? Where's the money coming from for somebody to go from paying $150 to $250 or for $150 to $3?
I mean, considering, I don't think that's much. You know, for the increase in what they're asking for parking and all that, I don't think that, because it's $46 downtown. If you get downtown before 8 o'clock, it's like maybe 30-something dollars.
Yep, 30.
But if you come in there after 28. 9, it's like, you get $46.
Mm-hmm. You talking about for the whole day.
You stay there to 3 o'clock. You know, you're talking about like $46.
Yeah,
a lot
that.
Of times I got meetings, so I get downtown like after 8, 9, something like that. I know what I got to pay, $46. Mm. Now, listen, I want to walk 5 or 6 blocks, and I ain't doing that.
I know people go to school at Lincoln University at 3020 Market Street, and right across the street, there's a lot, and school starts at 8 o'clock and may end at 7 or 8 in the evening time. And I think that every Saturday they got to fork out between $45 and $50 just to park in that lot across the street. And I was like, where do you get that kind of money from? You know, where's that budget?
Well, if you get a SEPTA, the best thing that happens is SEPTA have parking lots and they're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you get one, you might go in there all day for maybe $10. No. In the county, it's $250. I think it's like $5 at the most all day. So, you know, I wouldn't mind paying $25 a week for parking. I mean, some things they complain about, they shouldn't complain about. You know, like in the city, I mostly accept the parking lot, you park for free.
Hmm.
At the Frankfurt, at the Fern Rock, right? The end of Fern Rock. You pay for, you don't pay nothing for parking.
Well,
there's a lot of other stops on the Broad Street line.
And you catch the train down into the city?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people just don't look or try to figure it out. But, you know, it's a lot that goes on like that.
That's good information. See, my thing is, I was just opposed to so much money. And I'm always opposed to fare hikes when you can't tell us where the money, how the money was used that put you in this kind of financial position.
Anything you want to know, ask the controller.
Yeah, yeah, the new one.
Yeah, anything you want to know about money in this city, ask the controller.
No one. Now, look, so you know I'm a Republican, right? And so I had this issue.
They don't care.
No, listen.
They answer.
Listen, this is another question I'm posing to you. So I had this issue with one of the candidates, you know, because I'm saying, every time I look at your commercials, I don't see any African-American males in your commercials. And I'm saying, you know, I get the police officers throughout the state. I get the sheriffs and those folks who support you, and they no longer support Casey during this election. But you were appearing to be the candidate based on how you was raised. So that means if you don't have to have any interaction with us, it's not as important as having interaction with folks who respect you and look like you and who you respect. And I thought that conversation was appropriate because, you know, you and I always say this, no matter who's in office, it's not going to affect how the air I breathe, the food I eat, and the life I live, right? So
that's
if,
right.
If that's the truth, then we stand on what we stand on. You know what I mean? You got to be the representative for all people in the state right here. You know, we know you might have some favoritism towards the one you like, or the ones you grew up with, or the ones you're familiar with, but that doesn't stop you from giving the same consideration to other folks who live in the state of Pennsylvania. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
And that's all you can ask for. That's all you can ask for.
But, you know, on the whole thing, what you're speaking about, Casey, is mm-hmm. that you got to remember all those law enforcement guys, all them security guards. So they all standing up there like they this and like they that. You know, I mean, you take McCormick and you take Casey. That's a slam dunk. I mean, Casey been working for people forever. McCormick, you know, he leaves here, comes here. I mean, you know, he don't know what he want to do. Y'all got to get somebody that really wants to be here. They wouldn't have a problem getting it.
Yeah, somebody
but, you know,
just
coming
not,
in
star,
every night.
Not yeah, starstruck you know, and want the limelight and want to make the decisions. Because I think that
I
would have told you. So when you're doing a commercial and you say somebody weak and you do the description of somebody being weak and you've never sat in that chair before, you know what I mean? That's why I liked Lou Barletta. Lou Barletta was mayor. Lou Barletta sat in Congress. Lou Barletta had an understanding of a certain level of humility and certain words you don't use, you know, when it comes to saying that somebody is weak. So you strong on abortions. You strong on not having abortions, but you are not stronger on the circumstances that might lead a 13-year-old who's been raped in a poor neighborhood or gang raped or something like that in a predicament.
Now you're talking.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And
now
I think
talking,
you need
right.
to be rational to some extent, but you got to sit with us so we can say, hey, there's another side to this. You know what I mean? I'm not going
to
ever say,
that
hold on, George, hold on, George. I never say, what if it was your daughter? I never say, what if it was your, why? Because I would never want you to say, what if it was my kid? Because I know I'm raising my kid and I know what I would do if it was my kid. So, but what I'm going to say is because it is somebody else's kid, at least have the humility to understand. Now you can make a decision whatever way you want to make it after that. But for you to be disingenuous on even wanting to understand a circumstance on what it takes, you know, and dogmatic about no means no, it's just not a good feeling. That could be my soapbox, though. What do you think?
That's right. Well, you know, listen, if they want to win, they got to, like, go to a winner. You know, you just can't. They're not interested in winning. They're just interested in just trying to see if we can get the spot. We can, but they want to fill. You know, that's the way the Republicans are. If they wanted to win, they would have came to you. I mean, I respect the way you did Oz. You know, Oz was nothing and nobody. You took him from nothing to something, which we would have probably been doing better with Oz than Fetterman.
Perhaps.
Know?
And if Oprah didn't show up, and Oprah was a game changer in 11th hour, she said, I wouldn't vote for him. That just swayed everything. It moved the needle. But once again, I only do this for balance. I don't do this to dog anyone out. I'm not calling any Democrats names. I'm not disrespecting any Democrats and stuff like that. But I'm saying if Allen Iverson was a Democrat and I am a Republican and he played two guard and I played two guard and he giving me that work, I need to give him that same work right back, because we're going to have a mutual respect based on us competing, not a mutual respect based on me sitting on the bench and you starting. You know what I mean? So you can't be just as good sitting on the bench behind somebody. You become just as good playing against them, so they know that you can at least play this game right here. If you're in it, you know, some people might not be in it to play it. But once again, I think that you can fight, and then at some point in time, you come together and say, you know what, that was a good fight. We do that all the time. If it's 10 rounds, it's 10 rounds. If it's 12 rounds, it's 12 rounds. Nobody's going 15 rounds no more, because the 15 rounds tell the truth. In a man, you could have beat him up the first five rounds. You know, he's still standing, and now for the last five rounds, tell you who he really, you know, what's his constitution. So look, but one more thing I wanted to run past you since I got you, since I've had you for all this time, and thank you for co-hosting with me today. When we decide to put this Philadelphia's to work. Tell me what that looked like. Because I see a lot of development going on, a lot of construction going on in the city right here. Uh-huh. But where's the feeder system to putting Philadelphians to work? I still see the folks who come from Jersey who look like the folks who own the company. And
let me tell you something. If they put that arena there, that's all you're going to see. Okay? From out of the city. Okay? And the only thing you're going to see Pennsylvania tax, but they're going to be from the county. Most of the people that are in the trades are in the county. They come from the county. They don't live
correct.
In the city.
That is correct. Right. And so when she said,
and they don't look like you,
well,
or me.
I'm going to have more people working than you've ever seen before. And I'm saying, well, they're not going to be in the trades, because the trades still got less than 5% of African-Americans in it. You know what I mean? All the trades, we're talking carpentry, we talking plumbing, we talking mill work, you know, we're talking electricity, you know. And then so labor, what, you got 45% of that is non-African-American folks. So, and that's only for a short period of time, you know. So I just need to know, like, does she have a definitive number that we're going to hire 6,000 folks from Southwest, West, North Philly, Mount Airy, you know, and where would they go through? What system would they go through? You got all these preachers that are at the table, but none of them got no training centers at their church. They got basketball, you know, they got football fields, but they don't have training centers, especially the one that say he got 5,000 members. So why you don't have a training center? Make it make sense.
One of them do have a training center. That's for hospitality.
Come on, man. When they did the pandemic, hospitality went out the window because you couldn't get close.
Well,
you couldn't get
though,
food.
Whatever went out the window, whatever they did, they have they train all the people that works for ShopRite. They're the only one. I mean, it's a couple other ones that have. So I don't even know. I don't even know if any other ones have anything.
I thought I took you to that lady on Spring Garden, Miss Arlene. She had the whole supermarket set up, where she was training the women through the workforce development program, how to do the cash registers, how to recognize the aisles and all that stuff right there. But I'm talking about the construction money, the certified payroll.
Oh, no, none of that. No.
Right. So we need to talk to, we need to have that set up somewhere. It was the apprentice program, remember? It was called pre-apprentice.
Right. You know.
That's what it was called. That's what it was called. Hey, you know what, man? Thank you for spending time with me. I appreciate it. You got the last 2 minutes if you want to, you know, talk to me or talk to my audience. It's all yours.
Well, Prince, it ain't going to take 2 minutes. If you own a house or if you own property, you know, make sure Chinatown ain't there because you're going to pay for it. You know, we haven't even finished been paying for Veterans Stadium. You know, it's very rare in your lifetime you see a stadium built and torn down. Right. Franklin Field, torn down. You know, the Spectrum, torn down. Everything they rebuild, they tearing it down. You've seen it built in your lifetime. You got to ask yourself, who's paying for it? We're still paying for that stuff.
Still paying for it? I would have never known that.
Still paying for it. You know, they should ask the controller, how much are we paying on that there? You know, what kind of check she writes every month for that? Those banks and those bond people are getting paid, trust me.
They're getting paid.
They don't give you $100 million and this and that and not going to get a nice return on their money.
I did not know we were still paying for the Veterans Stadium. Now, I do agree that when the OIC and the NAACP back in the 60s, they were so effective and efficient that when we seen them, we could see their books, so they would do the necessary research that we would sit at the table with them and have a clear understanding of what was going on. Is there any place that exists like that now?
Not that I know of. Oh, yeah, yeah, the Enterprise Center.
With Della Clark?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so we were interested in what was happening here in the city right here. We could go, she's on Market Street, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got much respect for her. She, Brian Hudson from Pennsylvania Housing Finance Agency had wanted to link us up, but at that time I was moving a different way. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to partner up with people because.
Call in there.
Yeah. So look, George, I'm going to let you go.
All right, gotcha.
You always got a house. Okay. You always got a home here, man. And every Monday, it's from 2 to 3. Life's a gamble.
All right.
George, are you rolling the dice or are you passing them?
I'm a holder. I'm a roll these.
All right, man. Have a good one.
I got to add the confidence in my number. Okay, gotcha.
All right. To the listeners, audience, thank you so much. I appreciate the day. I appreciate the time. I appreciate you listening. Thank you for giving me the time to talk with George and making him my co-host. From time to time, I do that with Miss Mary. I do that with Maurice. I do that with a few folks because I may say that I am a part of a party, and the African Americans have always been Republican long before that conversion to Democrats. And so I stand on that principle right there. But I also stand on the principle of helping folks. And so there's never a time that if you need my help that you couldn't call up here. Or I have a ward office at 5629 North 5th Street, which is the one of the first African-American ward offices. And it's a lounge. So you can come there if you need some assistance with the city or the state. I also have another location in downtown Chester as well. So either location, you can come. And if you need help, just bring what you need so I can help. You know, you don't have to be deterred or you don't have to be running around begging nobody. You know, you shouldn't have to beg to get to your political officials. Shouldn't have to call them 1,000 times. They should return your phone call within 24 hours. You should always ask for the name of the person that you spoke with, you know. At an early age, I was part of a system called SEPA, you know, and my mom had me in a consumer education program, and it was just one of those things where you learned how to inquire about information that could help you. We thank you once again. My name is Melvin Prince Jonican. You've now listened to Life is a Gamble, September the 23rd. Thank you for your time. Talk to you next Monday.
Everybody plays the fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule. Beyond the sky, it's been a long, a long
Charlie died after taking a single pill that turned out to be counterfeit.
He was having back issues, and it was a counterfeit poisonous pill.
Websites and social media selling fake medicines may look legitimate, but they're not. Drugs from these rogue pharmacies could have fillers like sawdust or deadly fentanyl.
He died in less than 15 minutes after taking the pill.
Now there's a free tool that can give you peace of mind. At safe.pharmacy, enter the pharmacy web address and you'll know if the site you're using is safe.
If you're not getting your prescriptions from a legitimate source, that next dose you take could be your last.
We just don't want other people to go through what we're going through. It's just horrific.
Go to safe.pharmacy. Find out about fake medicine on social media and if the site you're buying from is safe.